what you are in these hotel rooms. This is a heated rivalry fanfic written by Ju Hua Te and read by Princess Moonlight. Please also note that this story has an explicit rating. Author's summary. Hayden would maintain to the end of his days that it was all Rosanoff's fucking fault. After accidentally losing a keepsake from Jackie in Shane's bag, Hayden was determined to get it back quietly. So he did what any normal person would and sneaked into his best friend's hotel room. Unfortunately, that was also the day Ottawa, formerly Boston, Lily was visiting. Hayden would maintain to the end of his days that it was all Rosanoff's fucking fault. Multiple voices that sounded suspiciously like Jackie and Shane told him it was actually his fault for being careless and stupid, but he refuses to acknowledge them. No, like everything bad in his life, this is Rosanoff's fault. First, why did Rosanoff have to move to Ottawa? Montreal Metro, and indeed plenty of other teams, only had about a week to celebrate the loss of Boston's center until he became their nightmare in fucking bottom-rung Ottawa. Which leads to point 5. How the fuck did they lose to Ottawa? Granted, it was a tight loss, 2-1 to Centaurs, but both goals had been scored by Rosanoff. And worse, between Troy Barrett, Wyatt Hayes, and that little monster in the making, Luca Haas, somehow Ottawa freaking Centaurs had become a force to be reckoned with. Hayden would like to think he's the shining example of sportsmanship. Any other time, of course he'd be glad for an opponent to improve, to start building themselves to be a worthy opposition. If Ilya Rachbait Rosanoff wasn't part of the equation, of course. And two, look, he's just a guy, okay? He's just a guy missing his family, his little babies, and especially his hot wife. And the road was a lonely place to be. Not to mention they had just experienced a humiliating loss to fucking Ottawa. He deserved some time for himself, calm his nerves, realign the chakra, or whatever bullshit mumbo-jumbo that Jackie's brother-in-law, Mark, believed in this month. This was only his justification as to why he brought one of Jackie's panties with him. He swore it is. And it's not like he snuck out with it. She knows. She encouraged it. They had a whole night about it. Only, well, those panties weren't supposed to be in Shane Hollander's carry-on bag. In yet another defense of his, their bags looked the same. In fact, Hayden's was actually Shane's old one, after he was given a number of them by one of his sponsors and decided he didn't need multiple bags. And hey, Hayden may be raising 4 kids on pro athlete pay, but he still needs to be frugal, okay? Okay. Anyway, the bag. The bag that he had accidentally put Jackie's panties in. With a heavy sigh, he looked down to the keycard in his hand. A keycard Shane had innocently given to him at his request. Nodding along with his stammered excuses on of emergency and, oh, what if our flight got moved, started earlier and you didn't know? I will need to burst in your room to tell you. As if both of them didn't know, Shane was the more organized one out of them. But Shane was a good friend, too pure for this world. Hayden worried about him sometimes. Not that it mattered at this moment, when this gullibility worked in his favor for once. With that in mind, he nodded to himself and opened the door into Shane's hotel room. Because Hayden wasn't completely clueless, he had called Shane 10 minutes earlier, and when he didn't answer, he had texted him. Shane had replied, a little curtly, that he's taking a long shower, probably from the stress, Imagine not being able to beat Russian demon with the backing of the team equivalent of a wet cardboard. Hayden would try to drown himself too. The shower was indeed running when he sneaked inside. One of the rare instances that Shane got a whole room for himself, out of anyone in the team, and he's probably using the opportunity to the fullest. Hayden had to room with JJ, who's fine, but had this god-awful cologne that he always sprayed every night before he's out on the prowl, which last he checked, he did. Giving the shower door a brief glance, making sure there's no telltale sign, Shane would be finished soon. Hayden crept towards the far end of the queen bed, where Shane's carry-on bag neatly sat on the sofa. The top was open, and even from afar he could see that every piece of clothing and equipment were well organized, except there's three pairs of lacy, dark-colored panties poking out from the top opening, and none of them were Jackie's. Hayden froze. Okay, Hollander. Maybe not as innocent as he thought. Maybe his best friend was a little more like him than he realized. And goddamn, those panties were straight up naughty, with the sheer lace and playful little bow. One of it even had ruffles and a heart-shaped cut on the ass part. Wow, he really needs to meet Boston Lily soon. Except, was Shane still seeing her? He didn't sneak out the last time they were at Boston, but he saw that he still had that goofy, lovesick look on him while texting. Maybe Lily moved towns. Shit, did she move to Montreal? The bathroom door clicked open. With a bit of scream, shit, he was daydreaming too long, Hayden frantically searched around the room for a hiding spot. Shane's voice echoed from inside the steamy bathroom, though the man himself hadn't stepped out. Stupid, he sighed, sounding a little miffed over something. It's an ego thing, isn't it? You could have asked for anything if you win, and you go for something like this? I look, and I repeat again, stupid. His distraction gave Hayden enough time to dive into the partially open wardrobe near the sofa, clicking the door closed behind him. For a while, he couldn't even breathe, couldn't let a single muscle until he's sure Shane was none the wiser of the fact that Hayden had snuck in to quietly pick up his wife's underwear and might have secretly found out Shane was keeping some on his own. Some deity up there must really be kind to him, because his best friend didn't even seem to notice, too preoccupied with the phone and the thick bathrobe he's repeatedly shifting and adjusting. Whatever. You'll see. Where are you anyway? Bit by bit, Hayden let himself slump down to the floor of the wardrobe and found himself at eye level with the row of paneled track blinds. He could see Shane pacing in front of the door, phone against his ear, and what seemed to be a mix of both exasperation and anticipation practically radiating off of him. He murmured something to the phone, too soft for Hayden to hear over the rushing in his ears, and hung up. Not even a few seconds later, there was a knock on the door. Realization hit him as he watched Shane patting down the bathrobe and pulling down what seemed to be some black shirt under the cotton material before practically rushing to the door. Oh, he's waiting for someone. And in a bit of irony over what caused him to be stuck here in the first place, this someone could possibly be Boston Lily. Oh, fuck. He's stuck in Shane's hotel room closet while his friend's about to meet up with his fuck buddy / girlfriend / who even knows, and he will get to see Boston Lily. The door clicked open and was quickly slammed shut. A heavy thudding footsteps confidently stepped into the room, and something or someone was slammed against the wall. From behind the blinds, Hayden could only see a tall form crowding Shane. Bodies pressed so closely, they almost seemed to meld into one. The wet noises that reverberated through the room told him exactly what they were doing. It doesn't take a genius to realize what was going on. Hayden winced at the sound. He's happy for his buddy, but he really didn't want to see any of this, and started glancing around the room, brain working overtime to figure out a possible exit without Shane or Lily finding out. There was a weak gasp. "Wait, wait," came Shane's voice, panting. "Wait, babe, not here." "Holy shit, babe." He knew it. Lily's not a fuck buddy. It will be ridiculous to keep one for almost a decade anyway. Once he escaped from here, he'll corner Shane and congratulate him first for getting his act together. And then he'll... Then a deep, obviously male voice chuckled. Hayden's blood suddenly ran cold. "No." He realized, with the weight of a 1,000 freight train crashing against him, that he recognized that voice just from that one word. He heard it recently on ICE, heard it spew incessant insults, could recognize it in his worst fucking nightmare, and probably the nightmare of half of fucking NHL players. "No," Shane said petulantly, and judging from the approaching footsteps, had put some distance between him and his guest, the decidedly not female guest. "Come on, before I lose my nerves." The other voice gave a low hum. A figure began to walk into his line of vision towards the bed. A figure clad in casual jeans and dark red shirt with the stark white print of Ottawa Sens across it. A tall figure with curly head of hair and sharp jaw and even sharper eyes, with a cocky grin plastered across his punchable face. Hayden's personal sleep paralysis demon there in the flesh, leering at the uncle of his kids like a piece of meat. Ilya fucking Rozanov. Lily. Ilya. "For fuck's sake, Shane, what the fuck did you get yourself into?" The view of Ilya fucking Rozanov was enough to distract Hayden from the moment. Shane stood in front of the man, hands clenching on the hem of the bathrobe, twitching against the material. There's a little bit reluctance across his face, and the thought that maybe he's coming across something sinister right now. Is Rozanov threatening him? Maybe he's not Boston Lily, and Shane is currently in danger. Crossed his mind when suddenly his captain dropped his bathrobe without any preamble. Hayden bit his tongue so quickly he's pretty sure he just cut himself. Shane Hollander, Canada's golden boy, Montreal's star player and Hayden's best friend, stood there clad in Ottawa Centaur's jersey, the number 81 on his sleeve and back, a very evident giant letters that spelled out Rozanov printed across the back, briefly visible as he turned his back towards Hayden's hiding place to fold the bathrobe and tuck it away neatly on the TV set. That movement made the bottom of the jersey flutter, revealing a very sheer, very lacy, black panties worn underneath. Holy shit. Those panties in the travel bag weren't Boston Lily's. They were Shane's. Unbeknownst to both, Hayden and Rozanov held the exact same wide-eyed look. Hayden, in complete surprise and dawning horror, And Rozanov,
ugh,
fuck, ew, he looked so fucking turned on. Hayden does not need to know that look on that fuck face's, well, face.
Oh, Solnishka.
The Russian menace purred, and there was something else there in his voice. Something almost sounded like he was in reverence.
Нет, краса тебе, красне тебе.
Face flushed and a little shy, Hayden could hear Shane murmur,
I don't really get that one. Is okay.
NHL's cockiest fuckboy stood up carefully, both hands honing down on Shane's hips in a smooth movement, as if he's done it a million times before.
I tell in English that you are beautiful, so magnificent, gorgeous, exquisite.
He started placing kisses along Shane's neck, one that Shane himself offered quickly from the way he seemed to curve his body against Satan's pawns. Hayden didn't even want to see where the poster boy for condom ads' hands are going, not when they kept going lower and lower.
Alluring, ravishing, stunning, dazzling, glorious, pull.
He scrunched his nose, curling his lips as he tested out slow.
Pulchritudinous.
Shane, bless Hayden's obviously bewitched best friend, because he started giggling.
Oh my God, Ilya, you sound like you've just ate a whole thesaurus.
Moscow's monster out of containment smiled. It looked so weird on him. Out of place, like a wolf trying to look friendly to a baby sheep.
Is because you were not there for me to eat instead. Barf.
Shane, his baby sheep of a friend, beamed at him. As if what Rara Rasputin there said was in any way acceptable. Sappy fucker, he hummed instead, threading his hands behind, presenting Dick on Ice's hair like it was something normal to do. They kissed again, soft and slow, and it occurred to Hayden, hysterically, that this was the kind of kiss that one would not share with a fling or an occasional fuck buddy. This is the kind of kiss he would share with Jackie, after they had not seen each other for a long time. What they would do to slowly let the reality seep to their consciousness and let any aching of loneliness go. You're here, that kiss said, and I'm also here. We are both here, and nothing in this world matters right this moment. With a sigh, Shane clambered up against Baba Yaga and circled his legs around his waist. With great irritation, Hayden noticed that Lucifer's proudest creation wasn't even struggling while carrying a pro athlete's entire weight. Carefully, the blonde scare laid Shane down on the bed, barely breaking their kiss apart as he did, and Hayden could hear Shane sigh contently. They parted reluctantly, still drawn like magnets to one another, and was only disrupted by the pesky thing in life called needing to breathe. I miss you, Shane muttered, sounding so sincere it hurts Hayden's heart. His eyes shone with unshed tears like dark little pearls. Boston's biggest bastard pursed his lips. For a while it seemed like Tsar Asshole the First wasn't even going to acknowledge Hayden's best friend openly, bearing his feelings, in which case fuck being caught. Hayden will stab him right there and then. But then he pulled one of Shane's hands to his lips and kissed the knuckles, looking every bit like an inbred prince trying to charm Cinderella. "Yes, I know. Of course you do," he smirked, looking every bit like the sentry of hell that he was. But the look of arrogance, if that didn't even last long, when suddenly the look fell, and what was on his face was terrifyingly close to being vulnerable, that Hayden was tempted to look away. But he can't. This whole thing felt like a car crash. "But this is because you hold the peace of my soul, yes? You will always miss me because you hold too little of it. While for me, mutant from Chernobyl, kissed Shane's hand again, gentle like touching porcelain or something incredibly precious. It will always feel like I'm incomplete until I see you again." Holy fucking shit. Hayden hated to admit it, but shit, that was fucking smooth. And evidently, Shane thought so too. The way he pulled down Rozanov. Fuck it. He's tired of trying to find something new to call the fucker. And, well, he wasn't sure if he can keep the vitriol after hearing something so unbelievably raw even to his own ears. "Who the fuck taught you to say something like that?" Shane jokingly asks after they part again. Though he sounded so moved, almost like he was so close to sobbing. Rozanov playfully shrugged.
"I am Russian, yes? We are romantics too. People just forget this. I am maybe modern day Pushkin and Lermontov."
He pressed a kiss to Shane's cheek, discreetly wiping a tear that did finally escape.
"I am Lenin in the streets and Dostoevsky in the sheets, huh?"
"Oh my God!" Shane actually half shrieked, a noise Hayden never in his life thought he could make. The smile on his face was so wide, so joyful, and it's crazy, because this was probably the happiest he ever looked in front of Hayden. He always thought Shane was just not very emotive, and there was nothing wrong with that. But it's clear to him that he's completely wrong. Shane just never had a reason to be this happy before. Had no one to make him look like that. Until, apparently, Ilya Rozanov. "Whoever thought you are some jock bad boy are wrong," he giggled, pressing a little kiss to Rozanov's sharp nose. "You're a fucking dork. Just a big nerd. Just a guy who memorizes a thesaurus for fun and do puzzles with my dad." Holy shit. Rozanov met David and Yuna Hollander. Just a big, big nerd.
"Yes, you like to talk about how big I am."
Rozanov grinned lecherously. He shifted his shoulder and suddenly the playful look on Shane's face went slack, and he mewled, tossing his head side by side as he began to pant noisily. Oh, fuck. Oh, shit. Hayden forgot what they're meeting in this hotel room for.
"Fuck. You prepped yourself so well."
The Russian breathed, hissing as his hand, the furthest away from Hayden's view, started picking up the pace. To his horror, he could also hear a wet, squelching noise, almost drowned by Shane's moans.
Fuck.
Rozanov began muttering a series of words in Russian, and though Hayden could not understand a lick of it, he could guess just from the intonation, the slow, intimate way he spoke them, that they're all nothing but sweet words for Sheen. With a strangled gasp, Sheen arched his back off the bed, and Hayden was so thankful for Rozanov's bulk that he could not see what was going on in between them.
Please, Ilya, not like this, he sobbed. I want to come with you in me. Please, please, get inside me.
A sharp bark of another Russian word, sounding like a curse. With a quick, if fumbling work, Rozanov dropped his pants, exposing his, in Hayden's completely unbiased opinion, a truly magnificent ass, clad in black Hugo Boss underwear. He continued to fumble with something, and suddenly something dark-colored was thrown to the direction of the wardrobe, slamming against the wooden materials with an audible slap that it almost made him jump. Hayden chanced a peek through the blinds at the item now laying on the floor so close to him. A pair of stretched and suspiciously glistening panties.
Oh, for fuck's sake.
From the bed, Sheen let out a truly obscene groan, leaving no doubt to what just happened. Hayden squeezed his eyes shut and curled even deeper inside the wardrobe. Cursing the fact that he can't do much to drown the noise, he tried to come up with the most boring thing that comes to mind. A documentary of metal production that he once watched at midnight when he couldn't sleep, trying to remember details on production value and machine maintenance to help him ignore the slapping of naked skin and Sheen moaning Rozanov's name like a prayer. It was forever. And a century later, it felt like when they had stopped, with Rozanov groaning and growling like the beast he is, and Sheen's panting echoing in the walls. Hayden opened his eyes to the sound of wet, lazy kisses. This might be it. A chance for him to slip out. They might sleep soon, or clean up, or whatever two guys do when they have sex. And then Hayden can
you get up?
Rozanov's accursed voice sounded, irritatingly only sounding a little winded.
Hold on to the bed frame. I want to eat you out now.
Oh, for fuck's sake.
If there was any positive side to all of this,
no, there weren't any.
Well, if there is anything to be learned from all of this,
actually, no.
He refused to learn anything from this experience. Maybe, please check which bag you're putting your wife's unmentionables in. But like hell he will ever do something like that ever again. He's traumatized. He's liable for emotional damage. He's scared. And wants Jackie to pick him up. Hayden was, to his own horror, starting to see how Sheen and Rozanov kind of make sense. They had non-stop sex. All right, maybe that was an exaggeration, because he's sure they took a breather every now and then. And he's reluctant to admit it, but holy shit. He's actually kind of impressed with Rozanov's stamina and strength. He had heard one of his nicknames back in the day, had thought Russia's greatest fuck machine was crude and an embellishment to stroke the guy's ego, but, well, shit. Maybe he earned that moniker fair and square. To Sheen, too. Maybe. Hayden would not know anything about being in the receiving end of sex. But Sheen had been taking in that absolute behemoth. He caught sight of Rozanov's dick and fuck's sake,
Why did an asshole like him have one that big? The world is so unfair. Over and over. And Rozanov was not gentle in a lot of those times. Being folded in ways Hayden wasn't even sure human could be folded, and being placed in positions that made Hayden wonder if he can ever look at Shane in the eyes again. Fuck. He said some utterly whorish things about Rozanov, his dick, and his own, fuck, his own hole that make Hayden wonder if he can ever look at both of them the same. Actually, did they ever sleep together before a game? He knew Shane sometimes sneaked out before. Wait, how the fuck did he play so well after taking that up his... No, no. Hayden, that's enough. It's time to stop. Ilya! Shane practically screamed, almost making Hayden jump at the abruptness. Please, please, Ilya, make me full of you. Mark me. Own me. He sobbed, a ragged noise that seemed to come from the back of his throat. Fuck. Breed me. Nope. Nope, 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 nope. Shane, Shane, my love. Rozanov sounded completely out of it, borderline drunk, like he was barely even conscious of what he's saying. Mine, my soul, my heart. They came almost together, and Hayden had heard it enough. He knew the telltale sign, the hitched breath, the bit-down scream, the heaving breath and desperate gasps. He opened his eyes, feeling the telltale beginning of a tension headache between his eyes. Maybe it's because it felt like it's been hours here. He might have closed his eyes too tightly. Maybe it's just the odd acceptance that whatever those two freaks got going on, it's not going anywhere. And Hayden, as Shane's best friend who can no longer look at him in the eyes, had to live with it. The telltale wet sound of kiss reverberated to the now quiet room. I love you. Another kiss. I love you too. I love you so much. With a deep, resigned breath, Hayden laid his head to the back of the wardrobe. Yeah, Ilya Rozanov is not going anywhere. He exchanged further murmured words, emphasized every now and then with soft laughs and little kisses. A quick glance told Hayden that they both had laid down on the bed, simply lying side by side, embracing, just enjoying each other's presence. In the lull of the moment, Hayden tried to remember when he became aware of the existence of Boston Lily. Early in Shane's career, he is sure. Maybe earlier than that. He surely knew of her when he successfully befriended their then new super rookie, a guy who kept to himself and barely socialized with the others even after he was given the C on his jersey. Shane had been secretive and had multiple times denied Lily being anything to him, all squirrely and avoidant about the possibility of her being anything more than just a friend. Hayden wondered what happened. Something must have. What with Rose Landry and their whirlwind romance. And then suddenly Rozanov moved to Ottawa and... He widened his eyes involuntarily. Holy shit. This is why Rozanov moved to Ottawa. It wasn't the pay rise or the jokes about him fucking all available Boston women. He moved for Shane. Ilya Rozanov endured all of the public disparaging remarks about his sudden transfer, calling him an opportunist, a greedy moron, a man whore, and throwing away his Stanley winning career, everything in between, all because he loves
Hayden's best friend. Fuck. Hayden suddenly found himself mouthing soulfully, glancing towards the two entangled figures on the bed. Holy fuck. Shane Hollander and Ilya Rozanov. Huh. They fell asleep. Finally. With painfully creaking knee and back, he slowly crept out of the wardrobe, careful not to make a single noise. Even the quiet wisp of the carpet flooring giving under his weight felt like a loud blaring horn announcing his presence. Neither Shane or Rozanov moved. Shane was breathing softly from his mouth, like he wont to do every time they share a room, a sign that he is in deep sleep. Rozanov looked as still as a statue, severe even in rest. Hayden continued to crawl. He only gave Shane's carry-on bag a brief thought before continuing his way out the door. He'll just ask normally tomorrow. Shane will probably find that part funny, but he will definitely die if he knew what happened today. He had reached the door, opening the metal handle down, and carefully pulled it to make the least amount of sound. Some hotel doors make that mechanical click that he's trying to avoid. But thankfully, this hotel was old school enough that they had one of the older doors that's easy to open. Hayden took a deep breath as he took a step out, feeling all mixed emotion, mortification, and jumbled thoughts pressing against his chest. He pulled the door close, and in a blink of an eye, he suddenly found himself being slammed against the wall. Hard. Head actually started spinning at the pain, the dullness that's usually caused by being checked while wearing helmet far from this. He blearily opened his eyes and embarrassingly trembled as he came face to face with a visibly enraged Ilya Rozanov, large hand grasping Hayden by the neck and shoulder, trapping him like a mouse under the paw of a vicious bear. How long have you been there? His accent was thick, rough and threatening the way you would see a Russian mob would in movies. Only realer and scarier this up close.
What did you see? I will kill you, Pike.
I won't say anything, Hayden found himself saying, and even to his own ears he sounded desperate, not out of fear of being killed and have his body buried somewhere, but because Rozanov, under the anger, looked so genuinely terrified. Okay, I'm not telling anyone, not my wife, no one. I won't even tell Shane. Rozanov's jaw made a creaking noise from how hard he's gritting them. He looked in complete disbelief and yeah, Hayden can't blame him. If anyone had came up to him a few hours ago and told him Shane's Lily was NHL's most hated player, he would have punched that person too. While Rozanov was still looking for words, Hayden took that opportunity to ask him quieter this time. You really love Shane that much? It was a simple question. But Rozanov looked at him like Hayden just shot him. A myriad of emotions seems to flash behind those bright blue eyes, more intelligent and earnest than whatever mask he put on while on ice. He physically squared himself up, which also resulted in him pressing his hands further against Hayden's neck.
You do not know what I would do for him, he hissed, to keep him happy and safe.
Hayden realized, a little distantly, that it was supposed to be a threat. Rozanov was willing to kill, risk jail, and maybe even more, if he sees that it will be the only way to shut Hayden for good, to make sure that Shane will not experience any undue distress. But to him, After everything he saw, every conclusion he came to today, it felt like a sign for him. Feeling a little like a person aggravating an angry wild animal, he raised a hand and gently patted Rozanov's shaking shoulder. "I am glad he found someone who loves him as much as you do." Rozanov continued to stare at him, first in confusion, then little by little in disbelief, and finally, like a balloon losing all of its air, he visibly deflated. The pressure on Hayden's neck lifted until it was gone. He is sure there will be a bruise there that he will have to explain, but he found that he can't really give a fuck. For a short while, it seemed like Rozanov still had a lot of questions, and by the frown on his face, he's probably still suspicious of Hayden. Then, for a second, he gave Shane's hotel door a long look. He seemed forlorn. "One day, I hope to give him more than this." He waved his hand around meaningfully. "This sneaking around, he does not deserve to be kept like a dirty little secret." "And neither do you, buddy," Hayden thought. And instead of reeling at the thought of thinking kindly of Ilya Rozanov, he found himself strangely content. Hayden smiled. "Yeah, well, I don't know how, but I'm sure it'll happen one day. If anyone can, I'm sure you too will." Rozanov absently nodded. He was still watching the door. Belatedly then, Hayden realized he's standing in the hotel halfway with Ilya Rozanov, captain of Ottawa Centaurs, who had no business being in this hotel when they are in his home turf, and that the man was still only in his Hugo Boss briefs. "Just head back inside," Hayden told him then, with the same tone he would use for Jade and Ruby to tell them their TV time is up. "I'll keep the team busy tomorrow so you can, I don't know, maybe spend a bit more time together before you have to sneak out." Not sure how he will do that, but he'll come up with something. He thinks he owed it to Shane and Rozanov to do just that. It took him a while, but the thought of Shane probably was the winning factor for Rozanov to head back inside. He gave Hayden a semblance of a nod before going back inside, closing the door quietly behind him. Hayden wasn't sure how long he stood there, staring. Who could ever imagine that behind this inconspicuous hotel door, two hockey superstars slept side by side, together, in love? He shook his head as he pushed himself away from the wall and winced at the sting on his neck. Ugh, fucking Rozanov. The end. I am extremely grateful to the author for granting me permission to record this hilarious read. I remember laughing uncontrollably when I read it the first time. And I had told them if I was able to control my laughter while recording this, then I would be gifting them this podfic. I hope my interpretation has done justice to this lovely, lovely story. And thank you for listening. Hope you have a lovely day or night, wherever you are.